Yes, for our next speaker, I just had a quick word with him before we started. Some of you might have remembered the case of Noel Kelly, the artist who was arrested for keeping body parts in his studio. It was about 3 years ago, and it caused quite a lot of interesting discussion about anatomy and the way we treat bodies after their death, both institutionally and how an artist basically crossed over into another area and started asking awkward questions. Mr. Paul Mead, I say Mr., I don't think he's a surgeon, I'll stop the misters and the doctors from now on, I think. He's a director and joint artistic director of Gunnar Nuhr Theatre Company from Dublin, and he wrote a play called Skin Deep on this subject, and as a result of that, he has won the bioethics art competition for writing a new play from the Irish Council on Bioethics. I'm very interested to hear what Paul Mead has to say about his new work. Thank you.
Thanks, Rob. And thanks, Andy, for suggesting the unconference. I'm all on for that. But I suppose I'll have to speak. So my name is Paul Mead, and I'm, as Rob said, artistic director of Gunnar Nuhr Theatre Company. And I suppose I've been invited here by the Bio Centre because I've just completed a commission for the Irish Council for Bioethics, a playwriting commission. And so I suppose I'm not coming from an academic background, so I'm going to give you a purely personal account of that commission and how it came about and how it progressed and where it's at now. First of all, I'll just give you a little bit of an introduction to myself and my theatre company and the Irish Council for Bioethics. So I trained as an actor originally, and I worked solely as an actor for 10 years until a friend of mine introduced me to the concept of devising plays through improvisation. And together we set up a theatre company called Gunnar Nuhr Theatre Company in Dublin, and it's an independent theatre company funded by the Arts Council. And our objective is to include as many different disciplines as possible in the artistic process, in the playwriting process. So we create theatre pieces together in collaboration with composers, choreographers, writers, actors, most especially. And I think actually it's an interesting way of, if you were to look at these issues, you could perhaps include scientists in that group, and probably something we'll look at in the future. So I first took part in creating this type of theatre, as an actor. But then gradually, through that process, I started to write plays as well out of this devising process. And that was my entry into the world of playwriting. And it's a very democratic process where each member of the team could make a telling contribution to the story and the final theatrical presentation. And though I've written plays without this devising method, including the play that I wrote for the Irish Council for Bioethics, I still think it's a very valid and exciting way of making theatre. So Gunnar Nuhr, which means new dress, to those of you who don't speak Irish, which I'm sure is a lot of you. It's 10 years old this year, and to date we've produced 14 plays, of which 8 have been world premieres, many of them devised by the company. So I'm in the lucky position of being artistic director of a theatre company, and I write and direct my own work and devise plays with actors and others. So that's Gunnar Nuhr. Now, I'm just going to talk a little bit about Skin Deep. As Rob mentioned, that was a play that we devised about 5 years ago. I suppose it was the first play that I wrote that had any sort of a bioethical background to it. And the inspiration for Skin Deep was just a newspaper report that I read about Noel Kelly, who was an artist in London, who he sort of cut a deal with a lab technician in the Royal College of Surgeons, that he was sketching body parts in the Royal College of Surgeons, and he cut a deal that he could take some of these body parts home with him, make casts of them, and then mount an exhibition. And I think some money changed hands, and he ended up, he could have got away with it, only he advertised in his in his press pack for the exhibition that he had got the made casts of these body parts, and he had taken them home with him. So the police got onto this, and he was eventually charged with misappropriating body parts. So this idea was turning around in my head, and I eventually brought together a group of actors, and we created a play which is sort of a thriller set in Dublin rather than in London. We have our own Royal College of Surgeons in Dublin. It's part of our colonial past. And so the play became a thriller about a journalist, a photographer, and an artist, and a medical student in contemporary Dublin. And it was how they followed their ambitions and desires beyond legal and moral norms, and what price they had to pay for this. And during the play, the artist ruminates on themes related to bioethics, but ultimately takes a sort of an amoral approach to his art and life. And any qualms that he has about the theft of these body parts are outweighed by his ambitions and his belief that the greater good is served by art. But actually, at the time that I was writing Skin Deep, just interestingly enough, I didn't even know what bioethics. I had never heard the term bioethics. So it was I was interested in the area, but I didn't really know much about it. And I was also interested with the role that the artist could play in bioethics. I was interested in visual artists and how they use the body in art and performance art. And you've seen some examples there in Andy's slides. And you know, people that you know perform plastic surgery on themselves, you know, for their art. And but I suppose I was thinking of it slightly negatively at the time, and I was kind of questioning that role of the artist in, you know, in their relationship with science. And it seemed to me at the time to be very that role mightn't have been as healthy as what I would think now. And I probably would welcome that role a lot more now. When the Irish Council for Bioethics announced their playwriting competition, I became aware that there was this whole field of study around bioethics, and I began to see that there was an important role for art, and particularly theatre, in stimulating and provoking debate in this area. So just to give you a bit of background on the Irish Council for Bioethics, they were established in 2002, and they're an independent body established by the government, though, to consider ethical issues raised by developments in science and medicine. And it was recommended, this establishment of the council was recommended by the Irish government, but the Royal Irish Academy of Arts and Sciences in Dublin, another Royal Irish Academy, were invited to establish the council by the Department of Enterprise, Trade and Employment, and they're funded through that, but they are an independent body, and they're formed of a council and then an executive who carries out the functions of the council. And their terms of reference, as you can see on the screen there, are to identify and interpret the ethical questions raised by biomedicine in order to respond to and anticipate questions of substantive concern, to investigate and report on such questions in the interests of promoting public understanding, informed discussion, and education. And in the light of the outcome of this work, to stimulate discussion through conferences, workshops, lectures, published reports, and where appropriate, suggest guidelines. So that's the Irish Council for Bioethics. And so through this part of their constitution, where they want to stimulate public discussion and debate, they set up a playwriting competition in 2006. And their hope was that through this competition and the subsequent theatrical presentation to the public, that they would raise consciousness and stimulate discussion on bioethical questions. And given Ireland's rich literary and particularly theatrical tradition, it was felt by the council appropriate to commission a full-length play. And the winning entry to the competition was to be judged by a panel appointed by the council. The panel included members of the theatrical community, actors, directors, dramaturgs, as well as representatives from the scientific community and from the council itself. And the panel also, they judged the eventual winner of the competition, but they also, as I was writing the commission, they assessed different drafts of the play. So this is an example of a model of how arts and a bioethical body could come together, or a scientific body indeed. So they were very hands-on in terms of the commission anyway, the council. And it was very clear all the way through the process that the Council for Bioethics were the commissioner, and they had wanted to get a product at the end of it that they were going to be happy with. And they wanted to, you know, look at every draft and see how it was going and have a large input into it. So it was quite an interesting process, and it's just a warning to playwrights, if there's any playwrights out there, don't sign a contract for an indefinite amount of drafts, because you could get stuck. So even in the interview process for this competition, before I'd been awarded the commission, I was asked if I would be open to losing some elements of the script. I had included a character of Bram Stoker, you know, he was the Irish novelist who wrote Dracula, and he was, you know, sort of like a ghostly figure flitting out through people's lives in the play, and they felt that this was a bit too exotic and a bit too gothic maybe for their tastes, so I had to get rid of Bram Stoker. But actually, it does sound silly to me even now, because the play is very different now to what it was when I first envisaged it. But it was a serious attempt to provide a historical perspective on bioethical issues in the play. So I'd just like to mention here that, you know, just to talk a little bit about theatre and, you know, its role in encouraging debate. I think theatre has always been a forum for. It's always been a forum for debate, even since since ancient Greece, and it's always been concerned with stimulating debate and discussion. And it's a public forum where concepts of society and humanity are dramatized, and where a variety of voices are heard, which I think is important. And if you think of Antigone and her struggle to have her brother buried after his death, you'll see that drama has been concerned with the human body and how it's treated for a very long time. So I'll just move on to writing the play and what the play is about a little bit. So yes, you get the commission, and then you actually have to write the play, which is the hard bit. So the play that I outlined originally to the council, we'll leave aside Bram Stoker for the minute. It contained three stories, and one was of a couple traveling to Switzerland for an assisted suicide, and one of a couple going through a process of IVF. And lastly, the story of a savior sibling who was born to provide blood cells for his sister. So I hope that these stories would come together to create a full-length play. And because bioethics is such a large area, I felt that to focus on one issue would be to narrow the scope for the debate and to cut out a wider discussion on what it means to be human and how advances in technology can present new challenges to our concepts of humanity. And when bioethical debate can range from organ donation to biometrics to stem cell research, I wondered if by increasing the amount of stories that I told, that it would become clearer that almost all possible bioethical issues confront our notions of who we are and what our rights are. And in a dramaturgical sense, I also hoped that I could make a coherent whole out of these three distinct stories by linking them thematically, by bringing similar actions or crisis points in the individual stories together, and by setting parts of each story in similar locations. I tried to make them resonate with each other in some way. I chose to tell the stories one scene at a time, in turn, and in this way I hope to highlight what made three almost separate plays a whole. And I had three pairs of people, three biological concerns, three journeys, etc. And what struck me most forcibly in the writing of the play was how emotionally charged each pairing was. And I'd never written from such an emotionally fertile place before. And for me as a writer, that was a huge gift. It made me appreciate the enormity of the challenges that face certain people as they negotiate the practicalities, the legalities, and the bewildering science associated with IVF, assisted suicide, or any other area where bioethics must come into play. And I also believe that focusing on bioethical issues helped my writing enormously. That was just a kind of a byproduct of that. So why did I call the play Begotten Not Made? I suppose coming from a Catholic background in Ireland, it was a sort of a weekly mantra going in Mass as we recited the Nicene Creed. And this little phrase, Begotten Not Made, is from the Nicene Creed. And it really is the Catholic Church's way of trying to explain Jesus' humanity while at the same time him being a deity. So I think in Jesus' humanity is really central to the Christian teaching that he had to live as a human, suffer as a human, and die as a human in order to save humanity. And this this phrase and the Nicene Creed seemed to encapsulate a lot of the things that I wanted to talk about in the play. Faith, particularly the Catholic tradition, humanity at birth and life and in death, and the concept of making. Sort of when you think of scientists making things and, stem cells and everything that comes with bioethics. And now that we have a greater control over the making of a human being, actually one of the most high-profile court cases in Ireland at the moment is about a woman who has some frozen embryos, and she wants to, she had them with her ex-partner, and he's trying to block her from using these embryos. She wants to become pregnant with them. And Ireland has a very, there is very little legislation around IVF in Ireland, just because no one wants to talk about it, because we had such a struggle over abortion. And so this woman, actually, they're using the abortion legislation to say, actually, the abortion legislation protects the child in the womb, but, we can't go any further than that. And so it's going to the Supreme Court in Ireland. So it just shows you that in Ireland, these issues are really highly charged, particularly because such a large Catholic population in Ireland. And now that we've greater control over these, with over bioethical issues through science, I thought it was apt to title the play with a phrase from the Creed of the Main Religion. So I just flick on here. Just to give you a snapshot of the mood in Ireland at the moment, and with the Irish Council for Bioethics, they published a report recently on stem cell research, on stem cells, like recommendations and what they felt in terms of, research on stem cells and what people should look for and what sort of legislation the government could bring forward. And there's been a lot of hate mail and protests outside the council itself, so that'll just give you an idea of what the mood is like in Ireland. Okay, thank you. Nearly there. Oh, I'm actually on. So just give you, just talk a little bit about the panel and their recommendations to me. It was interesting because they looked at the play and what they wanted out of the play. As it turned out, it went through various drafts, and I made large changes to the play after the first draft. But it turned out that what they wanted was this sort of white hot debate going on in the play, where people raged about bioethical issues and discussed them. But what I wrote was a play that was very much cooler, and it sort of was written after the arguments had happened, and the people involved were sort of dealing with, I suppose, maybe raking over the embers of the arguments, and just because they had set up on a course and they were going to go through with it, a course of assisted suicide or egg donation or whatever they were course they had set themselves on. And I think I thought about this, why did they want the big debates and why did I want something much more gentle? And I think it was that really they're a body, for them, they see debate as a possibility, and that they do debate these issues. The council, they make recommendations to government. They are very involved in legislation. They're very involved in what's happening with bioethics. But as an individual, as a playwright, as an artist, I feel completely disenfranchised from bioethical debate. And my characters, I think, reflected that, in that they had gone past the debate. They felt powerless within it, and they were just either trying to get around legislation or they were trying to deal with legislation that was there, but they didn't feel it was their legislation, or it wasn't. If we're talking about the role of democracy these characters and myself, I think, would feel very separate from the democratic process. And I thought it was important to reflect that, but the council felt the opposite. But ultimately, we came to an agreement where, they respected me as an artist and what I wanted to write. And I think I made it a little bit more, put a little bit more debate in there than what I had originally had, and I think the play reflects a bit of the tension between legislative bodies who can actually influence things and an individual in society who feels maybe a little bit powerless. So just in conclusion, I'd like to say that it's been a pleasure to work on this commission for the Irish Council for Bioethics, and I'm grateful to them for allowing me the space within that commission to find my own perspective on the issues and to find my own way of telling the story. And I'd just like to say to everyone here that there is a public reading in Dublin. I don't, if any of you will be in Dublin on the 29th of January, but if you are in Farmley House in the Phoenix Park in Dublin, there'll be a reading of the play. And there should be information on the bioethics website, bioethics.ie, or our website, gunanua.com. So thank you very much. And thanks to the Bio Centre for having me. Thank you.
Okay, we're going to take a break now. I have to say that's the first time I've heard of Bram Stoker being censored by a public body. I believe there's an exhibition people should look at. Is that right? Okay.
Thank you, Rob. Good afternoon. My name is Matt James from BioCentre. I'm the Associate Director. You should have received on your way in an information pack, which we do hope you will take opportunity to flick through. There are various resources in there, which I would just like to briefly bring to your attention. Clearly, you probably will have been familiar with the schedule and speaker profiles already. There's also some information there about BioCentre, giving you a brief introduction about who we are. There is also a flyer about the book that Andy Meyer was making reference to, details of which are contained there, and also how you can get hold of a copy. We're very privileged this afternoon to have Dr. Rob Lefrenez with us this afternoon from the Arts Catalyst, and there's some information about the Arts Catalyst, the Science Art Agency, in the folder as well to familiarise yourself with. We're also delighted to be able to carry publicity for one of the other speakers this afternoon, Dr. Shamu Kapaswamy's new book. You'll also find information about the book there and also details on how you can obtain a copy. Moving specifically to our publicity, in a sense, for BioCentre, we also are putting together an exciting series of events and publications for 2009, and there's a small flyer there that will give you information, at least a taster to whet your appetite, and details to know how to make contact with us, where more precise details will be available in the new year as regards venues and times. We also produce a monthly e-newsletter, which we try and, when we have an event coming up, try and tie in with our theme. And so we've been delighted to welcome a guest writer, Jennifer Swift, who is also with us this afternoon, to write for us in our recent publication, and we've produced a paper copy of that article, which I trust you will find interesting and thought-provoking, tying in very much with the theme of this afternoon with arts and technology. Clearly, we like to do a good job at bringing together very diverse groups of people and hosting the conversation. We try our very best to do that in the best way possible, but we're always interested to know how we can improve. So I think everyone has one, but we have an evaluation form. They're not always the easiest thing to fill in, but I've tried to keep it simple with just tick boxes. We really would be interested to hear from you what you've enjoyed, what you haven't enjoyed, so we can improve for future events. And as Rob just mentioned, as we break for tea and coffee, rather than just talk about the arts and technology, we've also sought to put together a small exhibition to give us a taster as to what is out there and what's currently happening. So there is also a small catalogue which details the various exhibits that are down the main section here behind that pillar and off to the left and to the right. We've got some very interesting and very exciting exhibition exhibits there that form part of the exhibition, which I would encourage you to take a look at over tea and coffee. And as I say, the catalogue is there to help expand and to give a bit more detail, background detail to those things. So thank you. And tea and coffee will now be served just on the right, just behind the concrete pillars. Thank you. For about 15 minutes, and then we'll regroup. Thank you.